We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome in, Friday edition. Fesco in the morning, along with Bob Fesco. I'm Josh Klingler. Ryan Witkowski producing.
Hello.
The Humboldt Chiefs about ready to take on the Chargers.
The Humboldt Chiefs. I thought they were the Kansas City Chiefs,
yeah,
Josh.
No, they're the Humboldt Chiefs.
Boy, are they humbled this week. Good Lord. You'd think they were like the Jacksonville Jaguars, according to the national media.
They're humbling and stumbling and bumbling.
Got Pete Prisco saying they're the fifth best team in the NFL. Some other troll had them as the fourth best team in the NFL. My God, the Chiefs lose a game and you think the world has ended around the NFL. But all that's in the past now.
Chargers up next. Joey Bosa hasn't practiced all week.
Well, there's a news story
Chris
for you.
Chris Harris hasn't practiced all week.
No,
James actually got to practice yesterday.
Yeah. Keenan Allen practiced.
Another
this
defensive
week.
Lineman, Justin Jones, did not practice. I mean, they're a little beat up on defense too. So.
They are. They're beat up on defense. And I was telling you before the show, I said not to get really like dorky and geeky with you on this one, but they got rid of Gus Bradley at the end of this season, right? He was their defensive coordinator last year. In the last couple of years, he's been their defensive coordinator. And they've done a pretty decent enough job against the Chiefs, right? We saw it in that first game, week two last year.
Had a great plan against the Chiefs.
Right,
yeah.
An amazing plan against them. And now he's gone, and their defense has turned into not so good. And they're giving up yards, they're giving up plays, they're giving up all kinds of stuff out there on defense. And the concern for me for the Chargers, and I don't know why I concern myself with a team I really don't care that much about, but the
Chargers,
concern
no good
for me for the Chargers going into the season was, boy, another offensive coordinator for, you know, Justin Herbert. And he's a guy that's now had 3 in 3 years. I wonder if that's going to kind of set back his development in the
and
NFL.
What did Shannon Farron, the sideline report, tells us like 6 and 6 or something like that? He had a bunch of offensive coordinators apparently in college, too.
Oh, yeah. I was like 6 and 6 is right. No, yeah, he had a bunch. Yeah, it's like every year is something different for this guy, right? And he's very like, smart, she said.
Yeah, it was like 5 or 6 coordinators in his college / now pro career.
Correct.
Like that. I was like, oh, my goodness.
That's a lot, Josh. That is a lot. And I was watching the Manning broadcast the other night, and they were talking about what we've been talking about for years, about how the hardest thing about learning a new offense is forgetting the old offense, right? And we've talked about that. It's like learning a new language every time you get a new offensive coordinator and you're told to forget the language that you knew and learn this new language, but it's hard to do that, right? Everybody kind of struggles with stuff like that. And so you're asking a quarterback to do that 6 times in 6 years. But I never really factor in the defensive side of things with that. And the Chargers were really good defensively over the last couple of years with Gus Bradley out there. And they've got a new defensive coordinator, Flavin, I think his name is.
Brandon Staley's defensive wonderkind. Right.
So, he's a defensive guy as well. And the defense isn't to the level of where it needs to be. And I don't know, maybe looking back at this season and when you kind of reflect on things, maybe they should have kept Gus Bradley as their defensive coordinator. But they need a new trainer over there, too, because everybody is always hurt. I mean, that is the walking wounded MASH unit of the NFL out there
Dr.
in Los
Sandy
Angeles. I think he's gone. I think they let him go. I don't think he's allowed to be around the team with needles anymore after taking care of Tyrod Taylor in week two last year. But maybe that turned out for the best as well. They got Justin Herbert to play, and he went out there and went 7-9, and everybody thinks he's the second coming of Patrick Mahomes with that 7-9 record last year. Justin Herbert, congratulations, and welcome to Arrowhead Stadium on Sunday afternoon.
We should send gift baskets to Stabby.
Yeah, we really should, right?
No, he should.
Oh, I'd send him a basket of cheese.
you know, every year at whatever date that is, you're like, oh, thanks again.
Yeah, thanks for stabbing Tyrod Taylor with a needle and letting me play in week
two. Deflating him. And,
yeah.
OJ, man, and he looks scared.
The other deflate gate.
Right, yes. That was the other deflate gate in the NFL. Very nice. That's a good one at 6:01, Josh. Way to go.
I'll see you later.
Yes, tip your cap, tip your waitresses, and eat the veal, right? So we'll see what the defense is able to do with all the injuries banged up, and they give up a ton of yards. So it should be a fun one. I think a lot of people are expecting a great offensive performance by both teams out there on Sunday. And based on what the Chiefs have done defensively so far this season through week two, why wouldn't you expect a pretty good offensive performance out of the Chargers on Sunday? And the Chiefs are the Chiefs. Why wouldn't you expect a good offensive performance out of them? So we could be in for some fireworks, man.
It screams game in the 30s, but you know, when you expect it, then go for the least expected.
Then you get a 14-10 final.
Yeah, but both teams are putting up a lot of offense. Both teams have some questions on defense. Now the Chargers do have questions as to whether or not they can put up sevens,
right,
versus threes or touchdowns taken off the board. But they have moved the ball, so they're close. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like. They're close to scoring points.
Yeah.
They're moving the ball. Are the Chiefs any closer to stopping the movement of the ball? I don't know. But this just screams of like a, you know, 35-31 type affair.
You would think so. But then again, you know, you predict things like that all the time, and then they turn out to go the opposite way. Yeah. And so, you know, the Chargers, at you say, you know, are good at getting threes and not getting sevens. But that's the difference, Josh, between being a playoff team and also ran in this league as well. I mean, if you can't punch it into the end zone and you're settling for threes, you're just never going to be successful and win enough ball games to get into the postseason. And so, you know, there's that whole learning how to win aspect that the Chargers did not do last year. We'll talk with Kyle Brandt of NFL Network coming up at 8:20. I think he said they won their last four games when nobody was watching. And so how good are, you know, the Chargers, right? You win your last four games, nobody's paying attention against a bunch of nondescript opponents and a Chiefs team that started you and I in that game against them last season here at Arrowhead Stadium. And so now Justin Herbert gets the opportunity.
I don't want to knock the guys that did play in that game. Because they were well above you and I.
Yeah, but most of them aren't here anymore, I don't think, right? I mean, I think a lot of them have moved on to
Colin Saunders
kind of greener pastures.
Colin Saunders is
Tim Ward
firmly
isn't around,
in the rotation.
Right?
No, he's got
no
picked
longer
up by somebody
us, right?
else.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I want to say the Jets or something. I don't know.
Is anybody bragging
remember.
About being in this defensive line rotation right now? You're telling your friends, hey, I'm on the Chiefs defensive line.
Colin Saunders is.
Yeah, he may be.
He's fine.
Yes, he may
he's
be.
He's fine.
Yes, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't know that he's fine. None of them are fine. None of them did anything. What did Colin Saunders register the other day? 5 minutes
Well, I'm not saying. That's why I'm saying he's fine.
Health-wise?
Confidence-wise.
Oh, confidence-wise.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you got to be more specific with fine.
I'm sure he's
watching the same game, Josh.
I'm sure he's put stuff out on social media. You know,
yes,
he's always
course.
Very confident in social media. So I'm just guessing.
He's probably talking trash to Lamar Jackson. I could have done a better backflip than you did. I would have gotten hurt, maybe missed the game against the Lions for that. So,
yeah, I'll apologize about that in our next segment coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say I watched any of last night's game.
Had it on for a brief hot minute, saw Sam Darnold run into the end zone on a beautiful play fake. I mean, it was an unbelievable play fake on that first touchdown. Then I turned it off.
But I did see Christian McCaffrey left with an injury. Shocking.
Shocking, right? Are we shocked by this? And Christian McCaffrey was on this radio station back on May of 2020, I believe it was, with the Tyrann Mathieu telethon that we did, raising money. And Christian McCaffrey was on with Alex and Cody. We call them Cody and Gold here on 610 Sports Radio. And they were talking about the situation involving the running backs in this league, right? You and I have been very, very vocal and very adamant that, like, look, I still think drafting a running back in the first round is dicey. I think paying a running back after their first contract, man, that's touch and go. That could be a very big waste of money for you. But I also believe that Christian McCaffrey is the most valuable weapon all-around player in the NFL when he's healthy. But since going on with Cody and Gold, he's been in a MASH unit. I mean, this guy has been somebody that has been banged up a lot in his tenure in the NFL, and he had this to say back in May of 2020.
To me, that's an asinine statement. I think when you
Thank
look
you.
Around the league and you look at what the running back position has meant to certain teams, I mean, I don't know when that narrative started happening, because it used to be, you know, the running back and the quarterback position were the highest tier guys on the field. You know, I look at guys who I looked up to, guys like Emmitt Smith, guys like LaDainian Tomlinson. I mean, I don't know, Emmitt Smith might have played, you know, he played 12-plus years. These other guys played, you know, long years and were the, you know, at the forefront of the team's most important players. So, And you look at what guys like Derrick Henry did in the playoff run so much now, and you look at some of the most explosive players in the league, and they are running back. So to me, I just think it's not a very educated statement.
Yeah, it is. It is a very educated statement, because while the running backs can be the stars and the superstars of your team, they are also the ones that get injured the quickest, have the shortest careers, and have their careers end like that. I mean, we have seen running backs all over this league where their careers just, boom, done. You go, where did that guy go? He vanished like a fart in the wind, and go, oh, he was a running back in the NFL. The wear, the tear, the pounding. And since that statement by Christian McCaffrey, he missed basically all of last season except the Chiefs game, if I'm not mistaken, right? Like, he found his way back.
In three games,
He found his way back for that Chiefs game, and I don't think played after that Chiefs game. So he played three games all of last season, and now this season, here we are week three of this NFL season, and he suffered a bad hamstring injury last night, where I think when it first happened, I think everybody believed, oh, he's done for a long, long time. We don't know how long he is going to be out, but it's another injury on top of that running back. And that's what happens when you play that position in this league. Every single play, you're involved in some high contact, high energy type of play, whether it's blocking, whether it's carrying the football, whether it's catching a pass out of the backfield. There is more wear and tear on a running back than any other skill position player out there. And that's why, especially in an offense like Andy Reid runs here in Kansas City, and we've seen it firsthand, you really don't need to invest heavily into that position and invest heavily into other positions, and you can make that running back position work. And now I'm looking at a poll from a radio station in Carolina right now. Can the Panthers make the playoffs without Christian McCaffrey? I think when he's so much of your offense and does so many things out there on the field and you take him away, you're not going to be able to make the playoffs if this guy can't go and if this guy can't be part of your team. And it poses the question, why don't they have a second string running back as good as the first string running back, right? Are they having that asinine conversation
today? They need to find
today?
A Carolina, right? A tree of a running back
running
tree.
Running back tree where you have the next Christian McCaffrey waiting on the bench.
He had a very good 2019. Odds he hits almost 1,400 yards rushing and over 1,000 yards receiving again.
Again in his career, Josh? Yeah. I'll say a zero. I'll put that at a zero. I have no problem saying that. Those are very high numbers for one individual at that position. And I just don't think in the way that this league is set up anymore, you should be that reliant on your running back to be your number one weapon. He cited Emmitt Smith. I mean, Emmitt Smith played back in the 90s where Troy Aikman had 22 touchdown passes and everybody thought he was lighting the world on fire, right? It was more of a running back driven league. Derrick Henry's a different style running back. He is a bruiser. He is a pounder. He's not a guy that you're going to use a whole heck of a lot in the pass game like you do with Christian McCaffrey, a different style of running back out there. And you know, you look at a guy like Derrick Henry, he's going to deliver more of the pounding than he's going to take it. I mean, we saw him walking the streets of Miami down there at the Super Bowl. We're like, oh my God, that guy's huge, right? When he got out of that Uber, we're like, oh my God, look how big this guy is. And so he's a guy out there that can deliver more of the pain. Christian McCaffrey's a smaller type of running back, relies on speed. And when you're that style of player and you rely on speed and you tear a hamstring or you hurt a hamstring or you tweak a hamstring, man, it's going to be hard for him to come back. And you know he's going to try to come back early and he's going to re-injure that thing. And man, I hate to say it, but I think we've seen the best of Christian McCaffrey. And I love the guy because I do think he's the best weapon in the NFL when he's healthy. But for now, the last 2 years, he's not been able to be healthy.
$7 million cap hit this year, $14 million next year.
Ugh.
They have an out, potential out after 2022.
Yeah.
Then you're on the hook for 18, 18, and 14.
Okay. That's a lot of cash, Josh. Don't pay your running back.
Yikes.
And I know we're probably not having this conversation today like we would have been a year ago at this time. But when Clyde Edwards-Helaire gets to the end of that rookie contract, I'll see you later. I'll find somebody else. I'm not overspending at that running back spot when you've got tight end money, wide receiver money, quarterback money, defensive end money, most likely safety money that's going to be spent out there. I'm good with Andy Reid finding Darrell Williams. I'm good with Andy Reid finding Damian Williams. I'm good with Andy Reid going out and getting Spencer Ware and Charcandrick West. Those offenses were just as fine as this offense is right now with a nondescript running back out there. You just don't need to pay these guys. I think paying running backs after that first contract is the biggest fallacy and waste of money that you can have in the NFL today.
Or in the midst
of their first contract as well. Why buy these years out when you don't have to on a running back? It's just fool's gold, man.
I think a little bit of it's like that Salvador Perez effect, like because Christian McCaffrey deserved more money than what he was getting
out of that slot that he was given, right?
Like right. So ever since
they do you though, Ryan?
Well, sure, thank you. I appreciate that. Either way, like ever since they've redone the way that the draft slotting goes, and you know how much you can make and the maximum cap on a rookie deal, and all those sorts of things, like. I've empathized more with some of these guys because they don't get the value that they're really capable of having in those first 4 to 5 years.
But the old way, and they were getting way too much money. Sure, when you look at that $50 million that Sam signed.
Most of things in life are somewhere in the middle, right? Yeah, like, I think the answer is probably somewhere in the middle on that. But, like, I do empathize with Christian McCaffrey because he was certainly worth more money. And that's typically what happens is that, and, you know, you don't want it to be this way, but a lot of guys are getting paid for things that they already did.
Absolutely. But a lot of guys also in the NFL aren't getting paid at all once they get out of those rookie contracts, and that's where the veterans were like, wait a second here. We got a guy that hasn't done anything in this league getting a $50 million guaranteed contract, and I'm in year eight, and I haven't made anywhere close to that in my entire career. So the veteran player is like, no more paying these guys.
Eric Bieniemy says what happened against the Ravens sometimes needs to happen. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Have a good day, junkies.
Just Chiefs junkies. That's it. Yes. Not all you junkies out there. Just you Chiefs junkies. No, we don't want any Chargers junkies to have a good day, right?
Let me get a little more of them Chiefs. Out of here, junkie.
Sorry, I got thrown off by the junkies. I didn't do what I said I was going
to
do.
No, Ryan. You didn't. You right. Really screwed this up, Josh. Right, you're supposed to be the professional.
All right, let's start it again.
Oh, we want to do the whole thing again?
Just the end. Maybe just the end.
There we go.
All right.
And I'll say this, since I think you guys have heard me say this before. Sometimes without any bad luck, we wouldn't have any good luck at all. Sometimes you need to be humbled, and things happen.
Wait a second.
But for whatever reason, we had to go through that experience. But now our job is to make sure we're focused on the prize, okay? The prize has always been to win, to win the AFC West. And the only way we can get that done, we have to take care of business this up and coming weekend.
Now go out there and have a great practice, guys.
Go out there and do it for the team. On three.
We're not going to dwell on that luck thing, are we?
I think the saying is if we didn't have any
bad luck,
we wouldn't have any – have any luck at all. Not good luck.
And I'll say this. I think you guys have heard me say this before. Sometimes without any bad luck, we wouldn't have any good luck at all.
No, I've never heard that before. I've never heard that saying ever. No.
But he's saying sometimes you heard me say this, not anybody else.
I don't know.
It's him. It's an Eric Bieniemy.
Have we heard him say that before?
The great Eric Bieniemy.
I don't know.
Sometimes without any bad luck, you wouldn't have any good luck at
Nobody's
all.
Nobody's bothered to correct him?
Right? I mean, at this point in time, if he's been saying it for a few years and they've got 3 straight AFC championship games, back-to-back Super Bowls, why bother?
Sometimes. Keep that thing a-rolling.
You got to have the bad luck. to get the good luck.
Well, we got another one coming up a little bit later on in the show that I absolutely love when it comes to another great coaching cliche that made zero sense yesterday by an unnamed assistant because I don't know who said it. But it was
football's the greatest sport there ever was made.
That's right. Who is that? Who is that? Is that Binkley?
No idea. Some other random assistant.
Yes.
That's a good one.
That's a good one, but that's not the best one that you pulled yesterday. And we'll get to that a little bit later. That's a deep tease. Don't play it yet, Ryan. We'll get to that one because
I'm going to play it for myself off
the air. It is one. When you hear it, you're like, what? And it is football to the nth degree in this one, right? Is this not football coach to the nth degree?
We've had some doozies this week, like Patrick Mahomes saying he doesn't believe he has to outscore the other team to win.
Yeah, no, you do. That you absolutely have to do that.
I'm stunned he's gotten this far without knowing that.
That's right.
Well, like, imagine how much he could have done in his first 3 years in the NFL had he known you had to outscore the other team to win.
That's right, yes. I didn't know we had to outscore the other team.
I might be on the 20 and 0 bandwagon.
I thought we just had like a bunch of judges sitting there with their scorecard. Well, you look better today, so you get the win.
Style points.
That's right. No style points in the NFL. Got to score.
And that's true for the Chiefs, period, right?
Yeah.
What got you to this point doesn't guarantee anything moving forward.
No.
And sometimes you do need a little humbling.
Yeah.
Little humble pie. The Chiefs certainly got it last week.
They really did. And I think it's the truth, man. Sometimes you do need to get your teeth kicked in a little bit to see what you may be doing wrong. And we kind of touched on this on Monday a little bit with, Bill Self always used to kind of chuckle and laugh a little bit if they got a loss. He goes, the benefit of a loss, they listen to you now, right? The players start to listen to you when you're the head coach and you start to tell them, like, if you're winning, it masks everything. It does. We all get caught up in that, right? It masks everything when you win. You could go out there and give up 35, but man, we scored 38. Ooh, we escaped that one on to the next, right? And so when you win, it hides all of your warts. But you still have those warts there. You're just covering them up with a sock or a shoe, or you're going to that witch doctor in New Jersey. Used to burn them off my feet, right? So you've got...
I think they have those little, like, round... Band-aid
things. Yeah, they got those things now. But back in the day, this guy was smoking a cigarette and, like, putting a cigarette out on my wart.
I think you freeze them off now, don't you? They have that little thing.
Yeah, they do. Do people get warts anymore, though?
I think it's a thing.
Is it still a thing? Okay. Is it that St. John's wart that they get, or
We
are meandering. But all right, so back on track. But sometimes you do need to get your teeth kicked in.
That would be a bad wart to get.
It would be a terrible wart, right? I think when you look back at what happened over the course of these last couple of years with the Chiefs, and now they're kind of we're a week removed for this is very similar to me to that Titans loss the year that the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. And I'm going to go back to that one because after that game where they lost that one, we're like, wow, they got some serious soul searching to do. And I know Andy Reid was very disappointed in himself after that loss, and he really wore that one personally, and they came back to Kansas City.
And the defense did too.
And the defense did too. I mean, that was...
I remember Tyron Matthew.
Tyron Matthew did, yep. Absolutely.
It
was rock bottom. That was rock bottom, and that took place like late November, early December, and that was the last time the Chiefs lost a football game that year. They used that loss. They did some soul-searching, both on the coaching staff and on the defensive side. They wore that one really, really hard, and they came back, and they didn't lose a game after that, and they went on and won the Super Bowl that year and getting that revenge over the Tennessee Titans in that AFC championship game.
It's not that bad.
I think right now, if you look at it like that and you take this as that Tennessee Titan loss just happening in week 2 instead of week 14 or whatever it was that year, you can definitely learn a lot from it. And I think what this loss shows us is that Patrick Mahomes can't be as cocky as he wants to be. CEH needs to use two hands when carrying the football. The offensive line can't be missing blocks late in the game. It shows the defense they better start tackling better and getting off blocks because there's no guarantee that 15 is going to bail you out every single time. So it's going to be real interesting, in my opinion, Josh, to see how this team utilizes that loss. If they handle it the way that they handled the Tennessee Titan loss, the rest of the NFL is not going to be real happy right now. If they don't utilize that loss and take things away from it, and they allow it to compound and they don't get better, then it could be a little bit longer of a regular season than we expected before we get to the playoffs. But based on history and based on giving these guys the benefit of the doubt, I think they're going to handle it like they did with Tennessee, and I think they're going to be out for revenge. They're going to clean some stuff up. They're going to go out there and kick some ass this weekend.
And I know that
35-0.
And luckily for them, it hasn't become a big narrative this week, but the goal of 20-0,
yeah,
like that hasn't really been shoved in their face this week.
Right.
But I, for one, I'm glad I didn't want that. If it happened, great. But we were discussing earlier in the week, like, the feat Salvi's having.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 390 run that George Brett had and the pressures that come with that.
Sure.
why didn't you, your goal is to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
If you go unbeaten, that's great. But I didn't even want to deal with the pressures that come with that, like especially if it got rolling. And the pressure got to the Steelers last year a little bit.
Sure,
injuries did.
Yep.
Too. But they were living on the edge.
Mm-hmm. Living on the edge.
Even like up to like 11 games, right? Mm-hmm. And what's the point? You're trying to win the Super Bowl, man.
Mm-hmm. You
so
are.
If I'm not saying you got the loss out of your system garbage, but you don't have to deal with that now either.
It does. That's, it does take pressure
that's
off.
Done.
There's no question.
You get a little bit of humbling. Yeah, I did. We did talk a little 20-0, and that was ha-ha for a little bit. But now we're 1-1, so
right.
Let's go.
Let's
now,
go.
Now it's real. It's time to play a season. So I like that aspect,
too. The last time the Giants won the Super Bowl, Josh, they finished a regular season 9-7. Like, get into the playoffs, if anything can happen, right?
Well, the Bucs weren't the hottest team going.
No, they were like the sixth seed, right, last year, and they had to go win 3 on the road, so.
Yeah. That's all you want. I'm not saying don't win the division and come from the wild card spot. But
you don't want to do that.
You don't need those pressures of unnecessary stuff that you don't have to win a Super Bowl. We'll shout it out 913-576-7610. Anything you'd like to discuss, we'll shout it out coming up. How one fumble's derailing not CEH but seemingly everyone else's confidence. Next.
Every now and then you need an ass whooping.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Hey, Chiefs lovers.
The more of those, though, the less chance there is of a station screw up.
That is so true, yeah.
I don't want the station screw up. I enjoy
those. I do
those.
Like those. That'll come later on, right? Oh, and it happens with the normal guy on traffic.
Yeah, not a lot.
I'm so-and-so for ABC News.
Well, good morning, my Chiefs lovers.
Mm-hmm. You got to cut that a little bit better there.
I didn't cut it. I just played it.
Oh, you're just doing it
on the fly.
Okay. Yeah,
she's
nice
very fast.
Yeah.
She wants to get a lot of stuff in 25
A lot
seconds.
To get in. Any mattresses out there today, let us know at 913-576-7610. Our friends at our sister station in Pittsburgh have spotted a couch on the highway in Pittsburgh for the last couple of days. It's been there for a while now.
A couple of days,
yeah,
you say?
It's day two now of Couchgate in Pittsburgh. So if we see any couches, let us know. Any mattresses, let us know.
I didn't read the story, but I did.
It's weird that you never see the box spring with the mattress.
Nah, you reuse the box spring.
Or you just that's easy to break down and throw
away.
It is.
You can burn that. Yeah.
That's Fesco firewood.
That is. Absolutely.
In classic 2021 fashion.
Fire pit tonight.
I didn't read the story. I just retweeted it.
Yeah, right.
But CNET had a story, how to get rid of a mattress the right way. The
what net?
The technology. CNET. Like CDOT.
What net, Ryan?
Hang on.
I see like Ryan is scrambling going there.
See that. No. How to get rid of a mattress the right way. Don't just leave it on the curb.
No, take it to the dump.
Was the story. And I just tweeted, usually it's dumping near an interstate and reporting the condition of said mattress to our show.
That's
we appreciate
right.
that.
Yeah.
So.
You
That's
know,
fine.
We're working too.
You see a mattress, let us know.
Let us know if you see a couch or if you see
in
like
condition.
A,
you have to report the size and the condition of the mattress.
You know, what do they call those? A bureau, a chest of drawers, or anything like that? Any furniture out there?
I don't know if you're getting like a bureau.
Hey, you may,
like
man.
A chiffon robe out there or something. You're not getting that.
I don't know. I need to see if there's furniture out there. Do you have any Chesterfields at your home? Not the cigarettes, the furniture?
I don't even know what that is.
Look it up.
I only know it's the cigarettes.
Yeah.
Best you're going to get is like a plastic chair or something. There's not great furniture usually at the side of the road.
No. Yeah, oh, yeah, like a plastic school
a sofa?
Chair.
Is that what it is? Just a
Chesterfield sofa?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Or an ottoman.
It's just a different name for a sofa? Or
I don't know. I'm just quoting the Bare Naked Ladies, man.
Mm. Oh, yeah, you were. Damn it.
Yeah. Nice Chrysler automobile.
Mm-hmm. God, if I had $1 million, I'd be rich.
The fumble heard around the world apparently is CEH. I didn't.
No doubt.
I guess I didn't realize that. I almost feel bad for him. Like, I wish he could have got another carry in that game so we could just end this nonsense because they're going to feed
him. You always remember your first.
They're going to feed him the ball and it's going to be fine.
Right. He's going to carry the ball in the first play, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, yes. If you're right now. The Chargers put 11 in the box and just go after number 25 on the first play. Chances are you're probably going to guess right.
Yeah, I feel like this is the prop bet of the Super Bowl, the Gatorade bet. You know,
it's
a CEH run or the field. I'll take
CEH run on this one.
They're going to feed him right away. Mm-hmm. Say it's just fine. But the freak out's underway. That's for sure. Greg Lewis,
G. Lou
spoke yesterday.
He talked about the incident on the sidelines.
But he did apologize for that.
You said that was G. Lou.
That's right. Apologize.
So I don't think he has anything to apologize for.
Well, you know, but he's there and, you know, they got to ask about it.
Got to ask.
Ball security isn't an issue for CEH.
We have to protect the ball. And Clyde knows that. The whole team understands the situation that took place then. But he did have the ball high and tight. The guy made a play and we didn't secure the ball. But if 12 people tackle him, I don't care. Nobody cares. In that situation, and really in all situations, the ball must be secured. And that's pretty much what I told him, and he understands it, and we move forward with that.
Okay, it's done.
Done. Like, I feel like people fumble all the time in this league, right?
There's no other treatment than just playing footballs.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Just playing footballs.
Mm-hmm.
He's played a season and three games, and he had his first fumble.
First fumble.
Bad time, yes.
Yeah, timing is everything.
Mistake? Absolutely. Much like the loss, not the end of the world. Eric Bieniemy says CH will put it behind him.
As a former player, I know I didn't want anybody speaking to me.
Hmm.
Okay? And I know Clyde didn't want to talk to anyone because obviously emotions are running high. But when the dust settles, the only thing that you want to do is put your arm around them. Okay? Nobody goes out there to intentionally fumble the ball. Nobody goes out there to intentionally throw an interception. But those are things that we can't take for granted in those defining moments. We got to do a better job of taking care of the football. And when it's all said and done, Clyde will learn from this. You know, Clyde's a tremendous football player. He's a great kid. And we're looking forward to him winning more games than helping us to win more games than what we ever could imagine. So I'm fired up and excited about making sure that our guys put that game behind them and continue chopping wood.
Yeah, he got all the cliches. Wow.
Yeah, chopping wood in there at the end.
Yeah, the chopping wood one, man.
Nice job,
God, if he went keep sawing wood, I would have called Mark Mangino and said, hey.
Yeah. Just going out there and swinging at balls.
Yeah. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Like,
I mean, if I'm G. Lou and I'm Eric Bieniemy yesterday, I'm like, it's Thursday.
Just keep chopping wood.
Yeah, they I don't know what the name of the thing is, the metal contraption with the orange foam things that you run through so you don't fumble the football.
Oh, yeah. What the hell is that thing called? Like the gladiator or something. Yeah.
This sounds good. Ran him through that car wash looking thing a few times, and it's fine.
And it's fine. It's the pummeler or something, I think. I can't remember what the name of that thing. Yeah, I know exactly.
The football will run through. Yeah. You cradle the football and you run through
it. And you run through it and those things hit you.
You got to hold on to the football.
You got to hold on to the football.
I just did that a couple extra times. It's fine.
Yeah, I do enjoy that. But I think the number one key for Sunday, for me anyway, is going to be Clyde Edwards-Helaire. This is the week we need to see him kind of be like he was in that first game against the Houston Texans. We keep going back to that Texan game because he was dynamite in that game, Josh. That run where he planted and boom and went the other way, like you can still see
that first of his career.
The first of his career, right? Okay. You can still see it in your mind, right? Like that's the guy he is supposed to be. And when I was looking at some of the numbers yesterday, man, the Chargers are almost as bad as the Chiefs in stopping the run. They're 30th in the league, and they're giving up like over 160 a game. The Chiefs, on the other hand, are last, as we've talked about. But the Chargers on their defensive side of things, they're 4th in the league at stopping the pass. So they're pretty good against the pass. So with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the questions surrounding him, the fumble, I think it's the perfect week to give him the ball, make him the focal point of this offense, let him rebuild his confidence, let him get these yards against the Chargers, hold on to that football a little bit more on the offense, keep that defense off the field as much as you possibly can, and go win a game against the Chargers. I just think they're going to utilize Clyde Edwards-Helaire a lot in this one.
Or against 4 carries early, 34 yards, and we don't see from him again. For 350, and they win. Let's shout it out.
That's probably
the blaster,
more like
by the way.
That's probably
the
more like it.
Blaster.
Yeah. It is the blaster. Yes.
913-576-7610. Shout it out. Brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow Service. They are simply the best.
Check them out at southlandtow.com. Mention 610, and you will get 10% off. Ryan, yeah,
and retails for just under $3,500.
Man, Chiefs can afford that. So
we should get one of those here. Make Binkley run through it every day.
The blaster.
Yeah. Or put it like in the door here where you open the studio door, you have to run through the blaster to get into the studio.
Someone said the noodle whacker is what we call it.
Or the or they have the teammates line up and they all have the big foam arms
and they hit him as he runs by.
Whatever. I'm sure they did all that stuff. He's fine.
660. Hey Bob, how are the New Jersey Devils looking in training camp?
I don't talk fall puck, man. Once the calendar flips to winter time, then we can start focusing on hockey.
All right. 816. I heard a lady at my daughter's softball game yell to a child, "Don't not run." What?
Don't not run.
Don't not run. I don't even understand what that means.
Run.
It means run.
It means run.
Was that game in Arkansas?
It's like a softer way of saying run.
Just yell hustle.
Is that like the PC hustle? Don't not run.
Throw strikes.
Yeah. Swing.
913, shout out to myself for making it through the week and kicking its ass.
There you go. I'm proud of you. Whoever that is, I'm proud of you, man. That's a great attitude you have to have on a Friday.
You also had to show me the boobies. 816 is a box spring on 29 South.
Nice.
By Tiffany Springs exit.
Nice. So yep. Awesome.
Didn't cite
29
size
South,
or
Tiffany
condition.
Springs. Oh, I'm going up that way today. I'm going to Smokehouse Barbecue. I'll check it out up there. If there's some good wood inside that box spring, I may take it and burn it.
Again, that's Fesco Fire.
Yeah. It's very good. I have no problem burning furniture in the backyard.
I burned an ottoman in the backyard.
What about a Chesterfield?
No, I did not. It appears it's just like a high-armed couch.
Yeah. You're taking your nice Reliant automobile up to Smokehouse?
I am. My grandfather had a K car, nice Reliant automobile. It was like that light green one that they used to have. I remember that
Avocado?
Car.
Avocado?
No.
Not the refrigerator,
lighter than that.
Did
like
you
a
ever
C?
Have one of those
oh,
in your home?
Of course.
Home?
Who yes. didn't?
Yep.
I think my parents still have that in the basement, if I'm not mistaken.
Probably works great. Probably works better than any of the new refrigerators.
Josh, I'm going to tell you, we've had in the last 10 years like 3 refrigerators, right, in our house because they keep breaking. This one I had in the garage that came with the house when we bought it. Yeah. It's got to be 30 years old. That thing runs like a charm. It's awesome.
913, I completed the one chip challenge yesterday, and this thing is no joke. Please be careful.
You know, I saw our friend Jeremy Danner had that, and he got it a Quick Trip with it, right? And he was going to eat that. I'm like, I'd stay away from that thing,
man. He and his child.
Son and his friends.
His kid's all about hot stuff.
How did they do with it?
Not very well. My son loves the spicy, and he's like, this was,
What did they do to cool themselves off? Milk?
That chip's like $7.50.
No, it's not.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
For one chip? What a scam.
It's not like even enjoyable.
No. Here's like $7.50. Go
eight,
cry.
It's like $7-$8. Yeah.
Here's just give me $7.50. I'll kick you.
Punch you in the junk.
Yeah. I mean, come on now.
323 says it's called a gauntlet. That works too. The gauntlet works as well. I'm sure there's other names for it.
Well, the gauntlet
companies.
Is the knockoff brand of the blaster.
All I need to know is everyone knew what I was talking about.
Yeah.
That's all.
913 tried to make jerky, ended up with 2 pounds of delicious dog treats.
Isn't jerky like, isn't that kind of easy to make? Don't you just put your meat in a dehydrator?
No, it's not really actually.
It's not.
The Ron Popeil
thing? Yeah.
The food hydrator?
Rest in peace, Ron.
Oh, I forgot Ron's no longer.
Yeah, we lost him this year.
913 wants to know how my wife's breath was this morning. Again, terrible, as every day.
Yeah.
I still keep kissing her, though.
It's morning breath. Last couple of mornings, I just got in the cheek.
She doesn't even remember me doing it either, so I don't know why I'm even doing it.
No, they don't know. They're asleep.
816, what's the donkey sound? What?
Huh?
What's a donkey sound?
I don't know. 816, shout out to Legend Bob and OG Ryan for finally talking Chiefs Chargers. What?
I don't even know what that means.
Box spring, highly used condition, by the way.
That's all right. As long as it has the wood, I can burn it.
EB sounds like the ladies man from Saturday Night Live.
Ooh.
No.
I don't think that's true.
Who is the lady?
As a former player.
Not even close.
I don't see it.
He's a former player, though. Much like the ladies man.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't read that. I'm sorry. I wanted to, but I was trying to read the...
And I'll say this, and so I think you guys have heard me say this before. Sometimes without any bad luck, we wouldn't have any good luck at
all. Yeah, no, it's...
816 Chipotle struck again this morning. It's good you're getting your money's worth.
Yeah.
Out of it.
Less with you. That's fine.
Guess that's going to be the... where we end on that one.
We're flushing it after that.
That's...
All right. That is today's dish of shout-out.
You're have some bad runs.
Text line remains over you at 913-576-7610. Tony La Russa's team are the champs.
Yeah. What?
Which has him thinking tattoo.
Oh, boy.
Next.
There could be a ticking poop bomb underneath your home.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Congratulations to the White Sox. They won the AL Central title. Blah, blah, blah.
It's about as excited as Tony was after the game last night when they woke him up and told him they won.
Good for you.
Hey, Tony, we just won. Huh?
So the White Sox win the division yesterday. They beat Cleveland 7-2. First game of a doubleheader.
That's right.
So the celebration was a little toned down because they had a second game of a doubleheader.
They win the second game of that doubleheader last night, do we know?
Nobody cares.
I'm just curious if they were all like having champagne.
Tony La Russa, though, said, quote, "The whole thing for me is Fantasy Island."
Oh!
The plane!
No, they lost the second game, Josh. Just
Well, they were basking in the glory of winning the first game.
Correct. Tim Ward was playing center field yesterday.
The plane! Tony La Russa was heard muttering to himself in the dugout. Right. The whole thing for me is Fantasy Island.
Tony thinks that show's still on, right? He thinks it's still on, like, Channel 4.
He was hoping Ricardo Montalban would come out and hand him the Central Trophy.
Yep. Now you're talking about a show that maybe nobody in our demographic even knows anymore.
That's
right?
Absolutely fine. There's a reboot now. I haven't seen it.
Is there really?
Yeah, there's a Fantasy Island.
Oh, I didn't realize
there's
that.
A Fantasy Island underway right now.
Oh, my.
I don't know which network it is, but yeah.
The Food Network.
So Tony La Russa clearly thinking the old version of Fantasy Island.
That's right.
Coming back like this, we all know the truth. The first three jobs, the clubs were struggling when I took over.
Mm-hmm.
Managers don't walk into a situation like this with a team ready to win, so I'm very, very fortunate.
Very fortunate. So Tony La Russa becomes the first manager in baseball history, okay? And we'll get his comments on this here in just 1 second. He becomes the first manager in baseball history to do something that's never been done before. It's quite impressive. He's won a division championship in 5 different decades, Josh.
Jeez.
He has won a division championship in 5 different decades. Tony was asked about that after the game last night.
I survived twice. I was coaching and the manager got fired and I still stayed. Drosher got, Charlie Dressen got fired in Brooklyn in 53, and then I stayed and coached 4 years for Austin. I coached for Billy Jurgis. He got fired, and I stayed. And Mike Higgins, he took a general manager job, and I still stayed and coached for Pesky.
Mm-hmm. So 5 decades, man.
Coach for Pesky.
That's how it all got started for Tony La Russa. So he won the championship of the American League Central last night.
The biggest thrill I ever got came in a game against the Athletics in 1907.
That's right.
I was only 20 years old then, not quite 21. And it looked as if this game meant the pennant.
It did.
It did.
He went out and beat Cleveland.
That's right.
This edition of Fantasy Island.
That's right. It's like Fantasy Island for me. Really?
To take the ferry cost a nickel. And in those days, nickels had pictures of bumblebees on them. Give me 5 bees for a quarter, you'd say. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. The important thing was that I had an onion on my belt, which was a style at the time. They didn't have white onions because of the war.
Wow, Tony got on a tangent.
Good
last
Lord,
night.
Tony! Anything else to add to winning that American League Central championship, Skip?
You're talking to a guy, or a guy is speaking to you now, that started driving a Model A car. I remember the first jet airplane and many first things. The Iceman delivering ice to an icebox, taking it off of a mule-drawn wagon.
That's how they used to get the games, too. Take the team on a mule-drawn wagon.
That's right.
For his first coaching gig.
Correct. How are you going to follow this one up, Skip? You going to take care of business in the playoffs this year?
Tony, I haven't seen the fans or the media been this pessimistic since 1964.
There you go.
Reportedly took the entire team to Furs.
Did he?
Yeah, after the win.
They all got the Luann platter. Is that at Furs or is that the other place?
That might be the other
place.
What
was the other place? Luby's. That's right. Luby's.
That's the Luann platter.
Yeah, that's the Luann platter at Luby's.
Yes.
Everybody can get one meat, one side, and a drink. You can all have the drink tonight. I'm buying. Thanks, Tony.
Everybody talked about Feller's fastball, but he had a tremendous curve. Of course, he had a fastball, too. He broke the machine in Washington.
That's right.
The Army scientists come out with a machine, and he threw it through the machine, and the ball broke the machine at 108 miles an hour.
Gosh, I'll tell you what.
If everybody finishes their meal, you can have ice cream.
That's right.
They have chocolate.
You
they have vanilla.
Self-serve machine.
And they have a swirl. Only if you guys finish all your furs.
That's right. Eat all of those green beans and you can have the ice cream.
Or some hard candy from my pocket.
I got some Werther's for everybody for the ride home. Yep.
Tony treated those cats, man.
Oh, God, yes. Pudding in the clubhouse afterwards. Of the rice variety.
Say rice or tapioca.
Rice pudding.
Rice pudding.
There's no question he has rice pudding. And I do like a good rice pudding. Cozy Shack is a nice brand, but there you go, Tony.
Not the one with the cinnamon in
it? It is. Like a little cinnamon. Yeah. Tony eats the cinnamon discs, too. He sucks on those in the dugout.
Fireballs?
No, the little cinnamon discs. Oh, yeah. You think they're a Pepo Mint, but it's really a cinnamon disc.
He's over there eating those candy buttons.
Then they got on the plane.
It's Fantasy Island.
The plane.
Yes, there you go.
You don't like this. We have a Monday night playoff game.
I think this sucks.
You're not a fan of this? NFL's playoffs. Looking at a playoff mix. Wild card weekend's likely to have two Saturday games, according to Pro Football Talk, three Sunday games, and a Monday night game for its postseason.
It puts more of an emphasis, Josh, now on winning your division and getting that first round bye. I mean, when you think about it, you get that first round bye, you could be facing a team that had to play on Monday night. And when you go into the divisional round of the playoffs, there's going to be Saturday and Sunday games. Now, they're talking about the Monday night winner will play on Sunday, but that's still one day in a week less to prepare than the guy who got that number one overall seed and
which
had first round bye.
Which I like it because I'm not planning on being part of that weekend.
No,
it'd be great to have two Saturdays, three Sundays, and a Monday game to watch. And then maybe you get the team coming off.
You get the team coming off the Monday night short week. Yeah, yeah. They should give that game's winner to the guy who did get the first round bye to add even more incentive to getting that first round bye. And adding even more incentive to the regular season, but I can just hear coaches right now grumbling, and
not
they should
happy.
Be,
no, they won't
and,
be
and they sh- and they should be grumbling. They really should be because you are playing in that game and winning that game. You are at a decided disadvantage of your opponent. In the regular season, it's one thing. It's okay, fine. We all do it. But, man, we're talking about the postseason now here. We're talking about playoffs here where you're really going to put one team at a disadvantage. And what if it's a road team that has to travel across the country or something like that, play that Monday night football game, they win that game, then they got to fly all the way back across the country. By the time you get back into the office, it's middle of the day on Tuesday, and you got to prepare for a game most likely on Sunday, but that's a quick turnaround for a postseason game. And that's one thing I will say. It's going to be great for us, for the fans, I guess. But if you're a fan and your team's involved in that Monday night game, man, you're going to be really hating things because the other team is going to have such a jump start because they're going to sit there. They're going to watch your game. They're going to be able to pay attention. They're going to start taking their notes. They're going to start doing their game prep while you're still out there flying. They're going to have a whole day of an advantage on you. And I think where the NFL has done really good things over the years with the playoffs, this is one where I'm like, nah, I think you may want to rethink this because your coaches are truly going to hate this. And also from a coaching standpoint, Josh, that's a game if you lose on a Monday night or you even lose the next week in the postseason, odds are you could be fired after that game, even if you did leave your team to the postseason. So I can imagine right now the coaches and even the players are probably not happy at all about this Monday night playoff game.
No, I can't imagine this going over well.
No, I can't imagine it is. TV partners are going to love it. Fans are going to love it. You get a Monday night football game. It's great, right?
Who doesn't want more football?
Right, more playoffs, and you don't have to try to consume and cram everything into three-hour windows on Sunday. You get the opportunity on Monday to have that standalone game. But from a competitive balance standpoint, which the NFL has always been really good with, I think it kind of puts a team at a big disadvantage.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDF HD2 Liberty, and Odyssey Station. Although coaches will complain and what have you, I love how they kind of sneak these things in like, okay, it's done deal.
Right, yeah, yes.
And they sneak it in now, like the report was yesterday.
Yeah, like week 3, right?
They're just hoping like coaches have too much on their plate that no teams are going to push back because they're like, oh, by the way, we didn't tell you guys this, but there's going to be a Monday night playoff game. All right, yeah. See you later.
See you later. Bye-bye. Put the phones on hold, busy them up, and we'll see you on Monday. Yeah.
What is this contraption I do declare?
That's so it right. It seems like just kind of sneak that in there when no one's paying attention.
Correct. You do it on a Thursday. Yeah. Teams are getting ready for the game.
What's all this then?
By the time Monday rolls around, they've forgotten about it. Oh, wait, we got a Monday playoff game? No way. All right, whatever.
Nick Saban dropped a, did any of you play sports in his press conference this week?
Mm-hmm.
He was questioned about some playing time for one of his players and lineups and why aren't you playing so-and-so?
Right.
His response, did you play any sports? I mean, the coach is supposed to play the best players, right? Then it's up to the players to do what they're supposed to do so they get to play because that means they're one of the best players now.
Alabama!
And it got us thinking about the Chiefs a little bit.
Yeah, for me it did a lot. You know?
Because there's been a lot of questions as to why wasn't Juan Thornhill playing the other day?
Right.
Why was Dan Sorensen playing and not Juan Thornhill when the secondary was getting beat by Hollywood Brown?
Mm-hmm.
Or mismatches, or bad communication, or a tight end over the middle, whatever was going on in that that Ravens game. Dan Sorensen seemed to be kind of the brunt of the frustration last week.
Yeah, Dan Sorensen has turned into the Omar Infante, Alex Rios of the 14-15 Kansas City Royals. There's always going to be somebody on the field that you want to blame, and he seems to be that guy. Nick Saban also said this about his player that they were questioning in Alabama, and I think this really does apply to what we're dealing with right now with Juan Thornhill and with Daniel Sorensen. And the quote was this: well, he's doing what he's supposed to do. He's practiced better. He's more engaged. He's more focused on what he's supposed to do, and he's having more positive performances on the field, which is what any player is supposed to do. And that answer right there by Nick Saban, I'm like, yeah, I totally agree with that. Like, we're sitting here watching a game on Sunday, losing our minds, some people are anyway, that Daniel Sorensen is playing and not Juan Thornhill. And then I saw that quote by Saban, I'm like, you know what? That's a money quote right there for me. It's not even about did any of you play sports. Like, that's the one that gets the headlines. That's the one everybody's going to talk about. But for me, it goes deeper than that because we aren't there in practice. We don't know what's going on in practice right now. And I've got to trust these guys that are running the Kansas City Chiefs right now that have won Super Bowl championships, that have won AFC championships, that have been the best in the NFL over the last 5 or 6 years. I trust that they know what they're doing. They're not going to put guys out there on the field that they don't think are good enough to help this team win games. And then you have to go back to practice, which they don't allow anybody to watch. And even if they did allow people to watch practice, you don't know what the hell you're watching out there. You don't know if guys are doing the right thing. You don't know if they're in the right position. You don't know how they are in meetings. And that's why, for me, it goes so much deeper than just what happens on Sunday. If they believe Daniel Sorensen gives them the best opportunity to win and he's doing what he needs to be doing in practice and maybe Juan Thornhill isn't, I don't have a problem with them doing that. And so when I saw that quote, Josh, about Nick Saban's random player that people in Alabama were complaining about, I'm like, that 100% directly applies to what we're dealing with right now here in Kansas City.
Steve Spagnuolo asked about Juan Thornhill yesterday and says he is earning his way back.
Juan's done a good job. He's had spurts of good football. But when you talk about what you're asking about is a position change. A position change has got to be merited when somebody's not playing well, and we need improvement there. I mean, if you ask Dan, I'm sure he'd tell you he wants to play better. If you asked any of the 11 guys that play the positions on defense, I'm sure they're going to tell you they want to play better. Juan's done some good things for us. He just needs to earn his way back. We talked, Juan and I had a conversation on Tuesday. The game, obviously, the first game, Tyron didn't play, so Juan was out there a lot. In this game, Tyron's coming back, and Dan's in there. So what did happen is we, you know, in the packages that Juan is in there for, we weren't in them very much. I mean, Baltimore kept us in our base package, and there's just two safeties out there. So we'll see where it goes. We're going to need, before it's all said and done, we're going to need everybody. Juan, Dan, everybody.
There you go.
Yeah.
See, I mean, like, here's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
He's third on the depth chart.
Right.
What do you want?
What do you say? We didn't need three safeties. We weren't in those packages. Baltimore was running the ball a lot. If they were more of a passing team, maybe Juan Thornhill gets in the game a little bit more. Maybe you take a
linebacker out or a defensive lineman or whatever you're going to do to get Juan Thornhill on the field. If you're going with three safeties, then you have to do that. If it's more of a passing team, maybe we see more Juan Thornhill this week. I thought that was a really good answer by Steve Spagnuolo, and I don't think it was a lot of coach speak either by Steve Spagnuolo. Number one, he said he's got to earn his position. You know, he's not going to just be given a starting job. It's a different position than what he normally plays, where Daniel Sorensen is instead of Juan Thornhill. And we were not in a lot of the packages and a lot of the situations that we have with Juan Thornhill in there because of what Baltimore was doing. A lot of what you do on defense truly is dictated by what the other team does. And so when you start to like bring logic into the mix and hear the reasoning for it, it starts to make a lot more sense to a lot of folks.
I mean, I guess the biggest issue I have with it is I'm just confused as to what Juan Thornhill did to lose his job.
Well, he missed
as a
year.
Starter.
Yeah.
Okay, so he got injured.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he did to lose his
happens
starting
all the time in sports.
Lost his confidence.
I mean, clearly. I know that you don't really care about anything that, you know, Pro Football Focus would put out, but I mean, just again, this is what fans base a lot of their opinions on. This is what a lot of football teams base their opinions on. And if you look at the grades that the two have racked up, I mean, it's not as if Juan Thornhill has a blistering hot PFF grade, but it's like 63 somewhere in there. Dan Sorensen's like a 35 right now. And I know a lot of it's been because of a lot of the missed tackles that he was attributed to over the week. I mean, you know, Steve Spagnuolo even said as much that, you know, he's going to get it fixed. He's going to get it righted. But to me, I'm just confused as to what Juan Thornhill, who Mitch Holthus, who came on the show, says he's going to be a future Ring of Honor guy.
Right.
Like, what did he do to lose his starting position other than get hurt? Because if that's the case, then I don't believe that Dan Sorensen did so much in his absence that you're like, boy, you got to get that guy
in
there.
What did Mondi do to lose his starting job? He got hurt.
He got hurt habitually. We're talking about a player that's gotten hurt one time.
Thornhill's clearly lost confidence, too.
I mean, we heard him talk about it.
Train camp. I mean, I think it was a guy that didn't trust himself, right? Mm-hmm. And they had to get that back as much as anything.
Right.
And then
did Drew Bledsoe do to lose his starting job 20 years ago?
Do you, when you come back, do you beat the guy in front of you out, or are you having some questions? It sounded like you had questions.
Right. Well, the team has to feel confident about
they
you to put
confident.
You out there. Yeah.
I mean, I don't disagree with the sentiment of, you know, you got to essentially go with what the coaching staff's going to go with. I don't agree with the sentiment that you just got to trust him implicitly, though. I mean, I do think there is some bias at work when it comes to,
isn't everything. Yes.
BYU Cougar Dan Sorensen and how much starting time he gets here. Like, if we're just going to be blunt and honest about it, I think there is some bias there with that. I also think that, you know, Kling is right. There was some confidence issues with it, but Juan Thornhill's only going to improve by getting out there and gaining that confidence and seeing that he can get the job done. You saw that when there was an absence with Tyrann Mathieu, and essentially that was what was said was, well, I mean, he only got that much starting time because there was a guy gone. And then after Tyrann came back, well, it was back to third string for you. Like, that doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
But I think
he is clearly, at least in a lot of people's estimations, mine included, a better player and more impactful when he's on the field than Daniel Sorensen.
I think also, too, though, Steve Spagnuolo mentioned different positions, and the safety positions are different positions. You got a free safety, you got a strong safety. They're responsible for doing different things, and maybe they believe Juan Thornhill is better at whatever safety position it is that Tyrann Mathieu plays as opposed to the safety position that Daniel Sorensen plays right now.
I'll bring you in the three safeties, and I move Tyrann Mathieu around.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Tyrann Mathieu's playing.
He's playing that position, right? And there's no spot for you
right
now unless you go out there and earn it in practice. And maybe he will as the season moves on. If Dan Sorensen doesn't pick it up out there on the field and Juan Thornhill's playing better in practice, maybe they feel comfortable in switching those guys out.
Dan Sorensen, who had 10 tackles in the game against the Ravens.
Right.
We're only lamenting the ones he missed.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Spagnuolo on that.
The one thing we love about Dan is he's not going to miss a tackle being soft. That's not a bad thing.
What?
You know, and I think once he gets himself, I believe, I'd have to go back, but I'm almost certain the same thing happened to Dan last year. No preseason games. We came out for the first two games. The missed tackles were there last year, too. And Dan became, you know, really one of our consistent, most aggressive tacklers. So we're not ready to panic on that right now, and I know he's not.
Missed tackles.
So when he misses one, he's soft? Is that what I'm hearing?
He's not going to miss tackles by being
not
soft.
Not being soft. You don't miss tackles by being soft.
The one
soft.
Thing we love about Dan is he's not going to miss a tackle being soft.
That's right.
So when he does miss a tackle, though, it's because he's being soft?
No, it's because he's
hard-headed.
He's at least hard about it.
I'm confused.
I mean, he is tough. I can't take that away from that guy. He doesn't care. He throws that body around like it's nobody's business.
I just don't want to mismatched with a faster receiver. That's it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's a lot I like about.
And
Dan
sometimes Thorne. The defense catches
What's
you.
Dirty rating in Madden.
Sometimes the defense catches you in a defense you're not in, or the offense catches you in a defensive lineup that you're not in. And catching, the Ravens did. Yeah.
A whole bunch of stuff that
right
they weren't getting right the other day. Wow. We are really dissecting losses these days.
Yeah. I hope this is the last one for my sanity, my heart.
We got to figure out how to deal with losses as a fan base.
Right. Just move
on. They're not going to lose a lot, but
boy, when they
worry about, we're freaking out about a guy who's fumbled one time.
Right. A guy who had 10 tackles.
And a guy who you know has some limitations, but is better than the guy that's behind him.
Right. Yeah, that's what it's come down to.
Jeez.
Can we just go beat the Chargers' ass this week? Like, really, 35-0 is what we need this week.
Not
going to
miss tackles by being soft.
That's right.
I don't even know what that means.
CEH should bounce back just fine because he's already doing something described as epic. That's right. Next.
Dirty's a smart, intelligent football player.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.